or Holy Macaroni, or Epoch Sec. If you're listening to this recording, I'm literally just, I'm going to spend about 5 or 10 minutes getting set up and waiting to see if anybody joins. But I'll be talking about different crypto scams and techniques and things like that today, with some examples to just use today to kind of spread awareness on those things to help people stay up to date on kind of different things that bad actors are trying out there. But yeah, so I will probably be on mute until people join or I get set up and stuff. So again, if you're listening to this recording, like I always say, just skip a few minutes ahead at a time until you start hearing me talk. And yeah, thanks for listening. Okay. Well, hello, Jar Jar Jeff. I have not got started yet. I see you're in the community as well. I'm not familiar with you. Nice to meet you. But I'm just, I'll probably get started in about 5 minutes or so. But yeah, I just started to actually, I always run these Twitter spaces, but I just started last week scheduling them routinely exact same time every week. So trying to pick up people to join and stuff. I usually have people trickle in throughout the hour. So, yeah, before I get started, Jar Jar, if you want to hop up and talk or anything, please request and feel free to do that. I'll happily, gladly let you up. But for your sake and awareness, what I do is I do cybersecurity, and I've done cybersecurity for a very long time. And so I provide that kind of support to the Cardano and in crypto communities, mainly Cardano, but anybody, right? Anybody joins, I'm willing to help them out. and of course, right? But what I do all sorts of things. I have meetings with individuals. I have meetings with different teams in the community to help them. I do YouTube videos. So if you like YouTube, you should check out my account. Just go to youtube.com/@epochsec or the at symbol epochsec. Or you can find the link in my bio or anything. I'll let you up in just a second as soon as I get done finishing. And then, so check out my YouTube. Please subscribe to that. I think that's a very good way for me to help spread the word. And then I do these Twitter spaces too. I just dedicate an hour of my time every week to help people out on different topics and things. So I'll go ahead and let you up now. I think you're up. I don't know what happened. Jar Jar, are you there? Oh, you requested. Let me approve it. Yeah, hello.
Hey, hello. Yeah, I'm just here to chill, but I need all the help in
Cool,
the
man.
security department I can get.
I hear you. A lot of people do. That's why I've done this, right? It's not, I always say it's not the For most people out there, it's not the most glamorous topic. It's not a controversial Twitter space on a rugged project or anything. But everybody's getting scammed all of the time, right? So I'm trying to take my expertise out there and reduce that and see less people getting scammed or taken advantage of and things like that. But yeah, I mean, I talk about all sorts of things, right? I think last week I talked about I don't remember what I talked about last week. It might have been like Windows Sandbox and YubiKey. I'm not sure if you're familiar with YubiKey or anything, but I do all kinds of things, right? Demos on how to use different things to improve your security, stuff like that. Today, every week, I pick a random topic. This week is probably not the most exciting one. I'm not sure, but I'm going to talk about different ways that bad actors try to scam people and things I do to, avoid that and whatnot, right? But if there's something you want to, I mean, and what I always tell people though, really what this is just dedicating an hour of my time every week. So if there's something, since you're up here, that you want to talk about, I mean, we'll go into that, right? I'm totally fine with that. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of down to listen to whatever you got to talk about, but one of the
Okay.
things I find that is scary to me is like these random NFTs that get dropped in my MetaMask. What do you even look for to know if they are malicious? Obviously, if they're coming in with huge ETH offers, they're probably malicious, but what are some things you can actually look for in the metadata?
Right. That's a good question. And I could talk about that a little bit, and I got some thoughts, and I'll do that. Give me just a minute while I'm organizing some stuff here, and we'll do that. Let's see here.
You're good, man. I'll be in and out. Take your
Cool.
time.
No problem. Yeah, and like I said, I talk about all kinds of things on here, but like just to be repetitive, really this is just an hour of my time to do talk about whatever. But if you're looking to, and I'll kind of repeat this as well, if you're looking to learn things that if you're not technical or you're not very savvy with security, if you're looking to do things to improve your overall security, I mean, you should probably, I mean, I would, suggest and ask you to check out my YouTube channel. Because what I tell people a lot, and I'll talk about your question here shortly, but what I tell people, what I try to get people to focus on a lot is while we are all doing a lot of interactions in the blockchain or crypto space, you're making some transaction to buy an NFT or provide liquidity or do whatever. 90% of what you're doing in those activities is still the traditional Web 2 stuff, right? So people think, oh, I have a crypto wallet and I'm doing this thing, I'm super secure. They're not keeping in mind you're still using a website, you're still using, your internet, you're still using your computer, you're still using accounts to log into things, whatever it is, right? So you're still doing all of those traditional things. So everybody still needs to, be aware of that and do things to prevent that. Like I talked mentioned YubiKey earlier. if you have your wallet and you're buying an NFT, but you have a Twitter account and you share it on there. What if somebody tries to hack your Twitter account and all you have on there is a basic password, right? That's where like two-factor authentication plays a huge role, right? So something like Google Authenticator or a YubiKey. So YubiKey is just a physical device which kind of does the exact same thing as Google Authenticator. Like, so you log in with your password, and they'll say, okay, now authenticate with the other thing that you told me you're supposed to authenticate with. So with Google Authenticator, you would put in a passcode in addition to your password. The same thing with YubiKey. You can set it up to where you just touch the YubiKey, or you put in the passcode that it has, right? Things like that. So, but yeah. Let me see here. Yeah, give me just a moment. I was explaining all that. Now I got to go back to what I said and spend a minute and get organized here. See here.
You're good. Hey, yeah, there's certainly no lack of people attempting to scam people out here. It's just like nonstop, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, they are relentless, right? I mean, and it's not going to stop, right? And as long as I've been in security, it's interesting because it's not anything new with crypto. What it is crypto is just a beneficial avenue for those bad actors currently, right? So bad actors, just like anybody else, any other entrepreneur, if you will, which bad actors are not entrepreneurs, but they kind of follow in the same mentality where they're looking for the best return of investment, right? How little effort will it take me to compromise somebody, right? So, and what is the opportunity? What are the opportunities and what are the opportunity costs, right? So, taking crypto for example, if I'm a bad actor, why would I go after some other group when I have a crypto group where there's a lot of people? I have to do less work to try to scam them because I get there's a lot more people out there that I have the opportunity to compromise.
Because
Things
everybody's
like
learning. We're all
exactly.
just learning. Yep.
Yeah. Let's see here. Software wallet. So to your question, I'm going to do my best to answer it because so most of what I do is in the Cardano space, but I've done Ethereum stuff too, like everybody else and so on, right? But are you familiar with Cardano? I'll answer your MetaMask question, but just real quick, are you familiar with Cardano and how that works and everything too? Versus,
Yeah, over here I'm
okay,
not
okay,
worried about it at all. I'll
right,
send that shit to a burn wallet, but in MetaMask I'm scared to sign the transactions half the time,
yeah, absolutely,
Cool.
because you don't know what that transaction is doing, right? Because on Cardano, two major differences. And Andrew Westberg explained this to me one time where if you're signing a transaction in a Cardano wallet, if it's legible, then it's safe, right? If it's not legible, then it might not be safe, right? That's probably the easiest way to figure that one out because you have that whole idea around I'm forgetting the term, basically where you take a stake address from one wallet and the payment address from another, and you I forget the term for it, man. Damn, I'm really hate I can't believe I can't think of the name of that. But okay, anyway, so I would say the other I'll just move on, maybe I'll think of that later. But the other thing is the difference is with Ethereum, nothing is all of your assets are not native, so they're not on the blockchain, right? So they are all handled by smart contracts, right? So it's a big challenge because you don't know what that for lack of a better way of putting it, what that code is doing on the Ethereum side, right? So it's a lot harder to avoid that kind of thing. You know, the difference being on Cardano, and if you hear my dogs in the background, my apologies. But on Cardano, you know, everything is, you know, the assets are native and everything like that. So you don't have all of those issues like you do on Ethereum. One thing I would tell you, though, with the Cardano that a lot of people don't talk about is, and I haven't really seen this happen, but it doesn't mean it will not, where I can create an NFT and I can put metadata in it, right? Within the metadata, I can put a URL. That URL could potentially be a malicious URL if I want it to be, right? So I would say, you know, it's not a prevalent thing yet, but I can only imagine at some point it could be, right? So just think of that. That'd be the only suggestion on the Cardano side, I would say, is being aware of your transaction signing, you know, just making sure it's a legible transaction. And then, you know, being aware of the metadata in there. And if you have a URL in there, being sure that that URL is safe to go to. On Ethereum, you can't really do the, I mean, those things are kind of moot points, right, with MetaMask, but yeah, I'm losing my train of thought here. What would I say to add on to that? I would say this, probably the best thing you could do, in my opinion, I mean, there's plenty of things to do, but if I had to pick one thing to do, I would say whatever wallet you're using to, I would have multiple different wallets, right? I would have one wallet where, you know, this is the stuff that I want that is real sensitive. Then I would have maybe another wallet where I'm doing things like providing liquidity or, you know, different things like that. Then I would have a third wallet maybe that's strictly for NFT activity, right? And, you know, and that wallet is going to be the wallet that you are most active with and will have the most visibility, if you will, right? Easy visibility. So I would, just like on Cardano, though, I mean, I do that there too, but I would say, especially with what you're asking about, I would just have that one wallet where I do all that degen activity, if you will, right? That way, if for some strange reason you do get compromised, you do get a malicious NFT that you are not able to avoid, you know, then, you know, the loss there is minimized greatly, right?
Yeah, I would say that's definitely the best way to do it. Yeah.
Are you familiar with WalletGuard?
I have heard of WalletGuard. I have not. I've just heard of it, though. I've not looked into it very much.
They got a cool thing going on. I would recommend, that would be my other suggestion, is checking them out. They also, you know, of course, I don't know what your Sundays are like. At 3 p.m. every Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, that is, they do like a 1 or 2 hour Twitter space where they talk about all kinds of Ethereum related things. And then they talk about WalletGuard as well and stuff. So I've been on a few of their spaces, and I would say on the Ethereum side of things, they are very knowledgeable, and that's a space I would join for that topic. Right. But yeah, maybe having that separate wallet for, you know, for lack of a better word, your degen activities. And then, you know, checking out WalletGuard would be another good thing to do. I would, and I guess to close up that whole entire thought on the Cardano side, one of my YouTube videos actually is an excerpt from a space place with, you know, Kyle and Adam and Andrew Westberg and all of those guys. And I had them talk for 20 or 30 minutes about different wallet security related topics. So I took that excerpt and put it on my YouTube channel. I think they provided a lot of good information in there that I don't even think I was actually familiar with. So that's probably a good thing to check out. Let's see here. Okay. So this, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was gonna
Okay.
ask you a random question. Keep going, bro.
I'll go ahead and ask a random question before I get started. That's totally fine.
Well, it wasn't really related. I was just gonna ask if you listened to Charles last night on
I
Governor.
did. I was actually on that space for a couple of hours. Yeah. I asked them about the DREP names because Catalyst wants to use the word DREP and they want to use the word DREP in Voltaire. He's like, yeah, it's a good question. He's like, I really like the DREP word, so the proposal will win over and Catalyst will lose on that. But yeah, I was there. I mean, that was an interesting space. Yeah, what'd you think about
So I was kind of watching those UFC fights and coming back in, but
Yeah.
he seems frustrated to me. I don't know. I guess
Yeah.
I definitely don't understand enough about this stuff to really, I know about enough to not get myself in trouble, but not enough really to really have a conversation with Charles.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are probably not really ready to have a conversation with Charles. I mean, look, I would say Charles knows. I would say there's two things that I respect about Charles, is his deep knowledge base, right? I mean, that guy knows things about damn near everything out there. I mean, I've asked some philosophical questions before, and he just goes on for 20 minutes about it, and then, his ability to, a lot of times when people ask questions, the answers that they get don't feel very sincere or thorough or complete, right? But when you ask Charles a question, 9.9 out of 10 times, he's going to give you the most information-filled answer that he can give you. Now, to your point, though, like Charles, I think was a little, frustrated and stuff like that. Be the thing about Charles, and he kind of didn't even admit it, I think, in that space at one point, to where he does get offended and stuff like that, because he I think he has that personality where if you don't agree with him, or see to eye to eye with him right away, he gets, he is sensitive to that and gets offended by that and stuff, and that's his personality. But in the end, as the conversations move forward and evolve, most of the time he starts out like that, and then most of the time he ends up finding that balance with whatever the other party is, right? To some degree. But that space last night was a good one because he was, I don't know. I guess he was more balanced with listening to people and things like that, because so I think he's starting to, and then he's doing those workshops and things like that. But yeah, I mean, the space was good though. I think if I had to listen to a 2+ hour space again, that I would listen to that recording, because there was a And just a ton of information in there that was, I think, easily consumable by the average person, right? But I
Yeah,
think what I would like to hope is that they get these CIPs into a format that's easy for the average consumer out there to interact with, right? I know how to use GitHub, but I would say 90% of the people out there, for one, don't even have a GitHub account, much less even will be, easily figure out how to interact with GitHub and put in comments and read things and stuff like that, right? So they need to find a better way if they want to involve more people. But
just link everybody to Chat GPT.
it used to be back in the day when somebody asked you a question, they used to give you that let me Google that for you link, right? Now it's just a link to chat GPT.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing, ain't it? I mean, like if you ask Alexa and or if you're asking the, I mean, I guess it's different, but it seems very similar.
It's similar in the same concept, right? You're saying, yeah, you know. Yeah. Yeah, man, if you have any other random questions, just interrupt me at any point, and I am more. I would rather talk about something that somebody is here on with me talking about than me just rambling about something instead. So, but I'll talk about the different, methods that scammers are trying to use and things I do. But again, if you have anything else, just interrupt me at any point. If you get bored and you want to hop out, that's okay too.
Sometimes I struggle with having the questions or even knowing what to ask. So just, do your thing.
Right,
Hope
right.
because people roll in for you and you can get some real good questions.
Yeah, I mean, it goes one or two ways. I will have one or two people in here for the whole time, or I think last week I had like 15 or 20 people. It's very different every time, but yeah.
I think Lua has a space, if you know who Lua is. He was
I don't.
he's a Cardano guy.
Okay.
He's got a space going on right now.
Oh, is that the one that's the Cardano Debate Sunday one, or?
No, I don't think that's like with Yieldman or whatever. No, not that one.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a couple of spaces going on right now where that's where everybody is, right? And that happens to me sometimes. Some it is what it is, But yeah, so the topic today is it's really simple. It's nothing mind-blowing, but it's the different things that bad actors are trying to do to take advantage of people, right? And there's all kinds of things. Most of them are very traditional. But two that are I don't know if they're more common is the right word or new or anything, but the two that I see people getting caught with the most are Google Doc attacks and getting more clever with replies to tweets. So, it coincidentally, Hosky, his Twitter feed is a wonderful example because scammers really they reply to every single one of his tweets. And what they used to do is send some. What they were trying to do in the last 2 years were use that their tweets would be something to the effect of, I had this issue with whatever application, Uniswap or Coin or CoinGecko or whatever. And then there'd be some malicious link saying, go here to resolve your issue, And those were very obvious because most of the time they had nothing to do at all with the main tweet. Like Hosky might be talking about the Eternal wallet, and then someone says, oh, I had that same issue with Uniswap. Click this link when obviously that has nothing to do with anything. So it wasn't very clever. What I've seen them doing a lot lately, though, is they're having two accounts or, I don't know, two different people or something where they'll say, let's see if I can pull one of them up.
I know what you're talking about. Like it'd be
You
like
do?
a Hosky account, like his, basically his exact account. He'll like your comments, and then
Yeah.
yeah, it almost happened to me not long ago. Something exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and I saw them do that with Cardano Whale. I guess he's not here anymore, temporarily not again. But what so it this is something that they're doing for a couple of months. They were taking accounts where the account had a lowercase L in their Twitter handle, right? And then with that lowercase L on Twitter handles, you can have an uppercase I that'll look exactly like that lowercase L, right? So they would have Cardano Whale with a capital I instead of lowercase L in Whale. Or they did that with Eternal. Eternal does the exact same thing where the Eternal wallet, they have the lowercase L in Eternal, then it's underscore wallet, and the two L's are lowercase. So I saw them multiple times try Eternal wallet with a lowercase or an uppercase I in Eternal. And then just days later, they tried it again, but changed the lowercase L's in wallet to uppercase I's. And what they did, with that one is they're taking advantage of a popular tool out there. And so they said obviously they buy a bunch of followers and they put a bunch of random BS tweets and then they come out with their malicious tweet where it says, hey, we just came out with beta.eternalwallet.io. When Eternal Wallet doesn't have a beta site for one, for two, they've been out for like over a year. Why would they have a beta site anymore, right? But they would say, look, we just came out with Eternal version 2 or something. Here's the beta website for it, and they lead people to a malicious website. They did that with Midnight as well. So I think it was Scott Fest when they first mentioned Midnight for the first time in a public forum, right? And you're familiar with Midnight, I'm assuming, right? With a dust token and privacy chain,
Absolutely.
all right. So, what they did was, this was different than the Eternal thing and the Cardano Whale thing, but what they did is they created a fake Midnight Twitter account, and they had a fake Midnight website, which was like midnight-swap.io, when the real site is just, I think it's just midnight.io, right? But what they said was, hey, you can go to our midnight-swap.io website and get some dust. Well, first of all, Midnight is not even released, much less is dust even available, right? But they did that based on the news, right? They used news to their advantage, of course. And based on the news, they put out that, and they're scamming people, and they got some people with it, right? So Pete, I did a YouTube video with Pete, but then he asked me about that when that Midnight thing happened, and said, what would you do? And there's a lot of things you can do, but in that kind of example, what I talked about was going to things like ICANN, ICANN, ICANN.org. So, well, let me take a step back for a moment. What you can do for yourself is look up that website on VirusTotal, or you can go to transparencyreport.google.com. Or you could go to any, you could just Google website checkers. Sucuri has one. You could just find one from Google. But you could put in the URL and it'll let you know if it's potentially malicious or not. What you can also do is look up that website. So you can go to who.is, right? Who.is, literally, that. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, right? But what it does is it looks up that domain or URL and it tells you all of the information publicly available. Most of the information is usually redacted for privacy reasons, right? Like the person's name and address and phone number and stuff. But what it will tell you is the registrar, where they registered that website name or domain, right? Like, for instance, my EpochSec one is registered with GoDaddy. Well, the Midnight-Swap one was registered with, I forget the registrar's name, but it was something like IC3W. P or something, but it was based out of Germany, I think. Well, what you can then do with that information is you can then go to their website. You can go to the registrar's website. Then every registrar out there, GoDaddy, Google Domains, every domain registrar out there has a report section in there where you can say, hey, I want to report this website. It looks potentially bad, right? And then they'll review it, and they almost review it like extremely quickly, within minutes typically. And then if they find if they agree with you, they'll take it down. That's what I did with Midnight-Swap. I reported it to that domain registrar where they registered the website. I think within a few minutes they had it taken down and blocked, right? And locked up. So that's something that people can do to help others out, right? Instead of just going to Transparency Report, Google.com, or VirusTotal, or wherever you're looking up that website. So that was some of the advice I gave them, right? And most of the time when I mention those websites, like, oh, I didn't even know I could do that. And it's really easy. Just anybody can do it. It's not, you don't have to be technical to know how to do that. For example, if you go to who.is, you put in a website, it'll tell you all the information. You just look for the line that says registrar. It tells you the website for the registrar. You just go to the website and you find wherever the section is to report, right? But yeah, those are two common things I see people doing a lot. The other one is I'll see them in not picking on Hosky's tweets or anything, but when Hosky makes a tweet, if you scroll all the way down, they usually hide them, right? But you can unhide it and you can read it. I just saw one the other day where the person said, it's unacceptable that Uniswap exploit is not being addressed. It's a major issue that needs to be addressed ASAP. Check out my timeline for the link. I retweeted it. right? And then people, you know, and what they're trying to get is to people to click on that and then click on the link right on their timeline. What another thing I'll see is actually, this one is actually a lot smarter, where I'll see someone post something like that saying, "I can't believe I saw that Uniswap exploit." And then there will be a second account that replies to that saying, "Yeah, here's a report on it. Just go to my timeline and click on the link," right? Trying to make it look like a conversation with two different people. And that, in my opinion, that's a pretty clever one, because I imagine they get a lot of people with that, right? So that's the new thing I've been seeing people do a lot lately, right? They'll say, "Well, I saw this article," or "this, I can't believe this thing is happening," or whatever. Then somebody will reply saying, "Hey, coach, here's more information on it," right? And yeah, I'm seeing that a whole lot. And I see it on a lot of different people's tweets, but I see it on all, like, people, apparently the scammers just love Hotsky tweets, right? Because it's on every single one of his tweets.
Well, it's the
But
largest NFT
it is.
project on Cardano. It's, you know, so
Yeah,
naturally it's going to
absolutely.
draw the scammers.
Right. The opportunity, right? Again, I mean, if I'm tweeting something and I get four likes, why were they going to waste their, you know, time with me, right? When, you know, they have a chance of getting a lot more people. You know, the more people they get to see it, the better chance they have of catching somebody, right? Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I see a lot of the scamming going down, like when, you know, when a mint's like a hyped mint's going down, everyone's rushing, and then like you have like an account like that, like duplicated, you know, like they duplicate the creator's account, and then people click on the wrong links and stuff. It's all that people just need to pay attention to what they're doing.
And that's exactly it, right? And so for some of the things that I do, let's see if I can pull it up. Give me just a moment here. Let's see. Yeah, I'm gonna share something here in just a moment.
Cool.
So, and to that point, yeah, and that's what I always tell people a lot, right? I'll give some cliche comments where I would rather miss 9 out of every 10 good opportunities instead of getting compromised that 1 out of 100 times, right? If I miss 9 out of 10 opportunities, well, I got one good opportunity versus, you know, I didn't get scammed 99 times, but I got scammed that one time. It only takes that one time to, you know, severely negatively impact you and your life and your well-being and all of that, ruin everything, right? So I always tell people to, you know, like you said, right? Just heed, you know, take some caution, right? You know, if so, you know, if I learn about, if someone sends me a message or I learn about a project or something and I learn about it 5 minutes before it's going to happen, I pretty much at that moment know that I'm not getting involved anytime soon, right? I don't care that I potentially might miss a good opportunity because
Yeah,
of my
that's a
right.
lottery ticket. You might as well, you know, buy a
Yeah.
scratch off.
Yeah. And then if I rush into it, I don't, 5 minutes is not enough time for me to build confidence or lose confidence in that thing, right? You know, so I don't have enough time to decide if I trust that thing or not. That's not enough time, right? And that's the whole idea around people with FOMO, right? But what I do a lot of times is if I get a message or even if my best friend sends me something and I have not heard of whatever that something is, even if he's going to jump into it, that I'm not going to do it, right? I'm going to dig into it more, right? Like if I get something, this is not an exact example, but I'll use people messaging you on Discord as an example. And this is not specific to Discord because, you know, bad actors are going to try to take advantage of you on any social media platform. So the mentality, maybe the exact steps don't apply, but the mentality applies to any interaction you have with anybody ever in life. So a specific example, you know, on Twitter or Discord, I'll get messages all the time, right? It, you know, the first thing I'm going to look at is that person, I'm going to click on their name, right? And if they're new to Twitter, if they've only been on, or Discord, if they've only been on Discord for like a week or two, they're going to have that label on there that says new to Discord. The next thing I'm going to look at is, do I share any Discord servers with them? And on Twitter, I'm going to look at how many different people in the Cardano space, for example, that I share friends with, right? And oftentimes on Twitter, they're if they're like less than 50 people or something, you know, that's kind of a caution. I'm going to say, okay, well, who's friends with them? Is it people that just accept friend requests no matter, or follow back no matter what, right? Things like that. Or on Discord, you know, I'm in a whole bunch of Discord servers, right? I only share one with you, that's automatically suspicious to me. Now I'm going to dig in some more. So now I'm going to look at that one Discord server that I share with you. The first thing I'm going to do is search for your name in that Discord server. Have I seen you say anything? Oftentimes bad actors probably have said nothing in that channel at all. Sometimes they do. But usually those are going to be sketchy looking messages anyway, right? So I do that, right? So I look at, you know, are they new to Discord? Then I look at what servers I share with them. Then I look at if they're communicating at all, or not, and or what how they're communicating. Then I look at, you know, how did they message me? I got a message from somebody the other day that said, I even still have it up. They just said, "Hi, how are you?" Right? This person is in one server with me in Indigo. Never said anything in Indigo. They only started off by saying, "Hi, how are you?" and nothing else, right? So what I guess my point is, you know, and going back to that thing I said earlier, if you only have 5 minutes before something's happening and you never heard about it before, you know, just forget about it, right? Now focus on looking more into it. So I'm going to look at one thing, you know, whatever that thing is you're looking at, right? And then I'm going to look at a second thing, and then a third thing, and then a fourth thing, however many things I can look at. And what I'm trying to do is correlating information, right? I don't want to just take one thing and say, oh, this person or this group of people or this thing is bad, right? Or good. I want to get multiple things because I don't care if I come to the conclusion that they are legitimate or if they are malicious, right? I'm not trying to definitively get one of those. What I'm trying to do is making sure that my process is a safe process of following to either build confidence or lose trust in whatever that thing is, right? So I think that's an important mentality to try to get people to learn and understand and practice every single time. Someone told me the other day, well, just turn off your DMs. Well, then they're going to try Twitter or they're going to try whatever else you're using. They might email you, right? Email is still the most common attack vector on planet Earth, or malicious websites, things like that. But it's the mentality and the process and the understanding that you have of deciding and of if that thing is potentially malicious or not, right? That's the most important thing that a person can understand and practice, right? I got very long-winded with that, but I hope that was helpful. But yeah,
no, I love it, man.
And a lot of times people ask me what is the one tip you could give me if you gave me nothing else, right? And I said, just don't click anything. Don't click a damn thing ever again. Stop clicking. You know, don't do that. You know? Like, that's not the most glamorous answer, but if I had to give one answer and nothing else, that's what I'd say, right? What's up, Joker? What's up, Tofinity? I see you're still in the listener thing. If you want to hop up, you are welcome to do so, sir. I will not request you to, but if you want to request to speak, I'll let you up. But yeah, Joker, what's up, man?
Oh, not much, man. You know what my personal favorites are?
What?
The social scams.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Which I know, but outside of you know, your area, but that's my favorite one. It's the social.
Give us a couple examples.
Hey. All right, let me go in my DMs here. I got a DM from somebody the other day. Let's see if it's still there. But basically, here it is. Guy hits me up, and he says, "Hey, Joker." Don't know this guy, right? So I'm like, "Hi, do I know you?" No, bro, I'm a member of Charles. I need help, too. Can I explain my problem? I live in Turkey, and you know the situation here. I owe 1,500 Turkish liras, and it's about 70 USD. I am also looking for people who can support me because I cannot pay off my debt, and interest is running 10 to 15 ADA. Can you support me, bro? I buried all my ADAs and onesies, whatever that is. I've been in a very bad loss for months. Things are very bad.
You were already married, Joker?
Here, too. Say what?
I said, you tell him you were already married and you have kids already, right?
That's funny. No, some dude trying to hit me up for 15 ADA. So basically, the Charles token, I hit them guys up and I hit Carlos up. Basically, this guy does this scam, right? And so her go out and her hit people up, give them this sob story about like how he's got all this bad stuff going on. And he's just trying to get some ADA to mint another project.
Right.
But he keeps it low enough to where, like, mm-hmm. you might feel bad for him and you're like, oh, it's only, 10 or 15 ADA. So maybe you're send it to him. And then he sends that same message out to, 100, 200 people.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's what I talked about earlier on where it's the return of investment and the opportunity costs and the opportunity possibilities, right? And that, and that's a clever thing to try because, a lot of people will probably say, well, it's just 15 ADA, no harm in it, right? But if he gets, 1,000 people to do it, I mean, that's, 15,000 ADA he's gotten, right? Yeah. I mean, I was looking at my Twitter DMs, the additional messages while you were saying that. And within the last day, I have 13 different scammers trying to get me, right? I mean, apparently they don't look at the profiles of people because if you looked at my profile, they probably wouldn't bother me, right?
I was thinking about that when you were talking about that. What's the difference between that and like someone sitting outside of the football game asking you for cash?
You're damn right, man. You're damn right, dude. That's something I've talked about a bunch of times in the last week or two. Think about, I don't know everybody's age, but think about in the 90s and things when people, your example of a football game, but another comparable example, like people coming door to door to solicit something to you. What would your parents do? They would, first of all, they probably wouldn't even answer the door. And if they did, they're probably going to give that person a very hard time and not even buy anything that they're selling, right? They are already automatically know they're not going to get anything from this person, right? So it's the exact, that being at that football game, someone soliciting to you or someone soliciting to your front door, it's the exact same thing as someone soliciting to you online or trying to take advantage of you, right? It's the exact same thing in terms of how you approach it, right? Yeah. What's up, nudes? What's up, Dave? If y'all want to hop up, Antofinity again, if anybody wants to hop up, man, just request to speak. I don't like to invite people up because I don't know if you want to be up here or not, but I'm willing. I'll let everybody up. But yeah, I most of the time, and to your point, Joker, most of the time, those scammers are kind of obvious in the way they're articulating that thing to you. Like you just described an example where that's more or less a pretty obvious thing. But sometimes they do get a little smarter. I'm reading one right now in my DMs where I was on Cardano over coffee the other day doing my bowl of macaroni. Shout out to Nudes for phrasing that for me. That's an awesome thing, dude. I appreciate it. And someone DM'd me about, they were basically saying without reading this whole long ass thing, they were asking about, the ongoing discussion around Jira wallet on iOS. And they have a problem where they couldn't swap and they lost $500 in profits. And then they opened a ticket, but they're getting no support. And can they help? Can I help them? And that might sound so. In that case, right? First of all, I don't work with Jiro, so I can't help you at all, right? But even if I thought I could help them, I'm not giving them the. I never give anybody the benefit of the doubt that I don't know, because I'm doing that for my own safety, and I hope they just respect that, right? Now, if I might can I might carry on a conversation with them to do that thing earlier I was mentioning, where I'm either trying to build confidence in that thing or lose trust in it, right? And I'll let it go on as long as I need to until I make that decision, but I'm not going to divulge any information. I'm not going to click any link. I'm not going to do anything other than try to investigate, if you will, right? So sometimes they are legitimate people that I j and that's okay with me, right? If I offend that person or not, because it's you can't take that risk. Like I said earlier, right? It only takes that one out of 100 times to do, completely ruin everything for you, right? And then I talked about Google Docs earlier too. It's not, and what you talked about is, let me finish my thought there, is there's two different terms. There are social engineering and, well, three different terms: phishing, spear phishing, and social engineering, right? People engaging with you in a conversation like that is social engineering. Now, if they send you a link or something in some message, that's, without getting into a long, detailed, description, that's phishing. Now, spear phishing is when I go to Eternal or somebody that works at Eternal or somebody that works at whatever team, it doesn't matter what team it is, but and then I know some information about them, right? And now I'm going to use that information and leverage it against them to then try to phish them and get them to do something that will compromise them. That's likely, I don't think I have all, there's all the details out there, but that's likely what happened to that senior engineer at LastPass, right? So LastPass came out of the article not long ago where one of their senior engineers, I think their Plex server or something got compromised. I think it's because they clicked on some link or something. But what they were doing was essentially trying to spear phish that person because they knew some information about that person and about what they were doing, right? They knew that they were a senior developer or senior engineer, and they knew kind of, they knew some things that they could use to, being repetitive here, but to phish them, right? So that's a very common thing too. And that's happened to people. I mean, it happens to people everywhere. None of this is unique to, none of this is unique to crypto at all whatsoever. The only thing unique to crypto is maybe, that thing that Jar Jar asked in the beginning about MetaMask and then the things like that, right? But 90% of everything you're doing is still the traditional Web 2, if you will, based attacks, right? And the attack vectors, right? Social media. They're trying to spear phish you, socially engineer you, email, websites, all of that, right? Trying to mimic accounts on Twitter, whatever it is. All of that is still, the exact same traditional, most popular attack vectors.
Oh, you'll love this, man. Like, funny story, right? When I first got on Twitter or whatever, right? It was because I found Hosky Token or whatever, and I was super new to crypto and, did everything on exchanges, didn't know nothing about on chain. And so, I start looking into like what, these native assets are and what on chain assets and all this type of stuff. So I get a wallet, was Yoroi. And I come on Twitter, and so I made a comment about something wrong with Yoroi, right? And they were like, "Oh, well, we can help." And it was a Yoroi fake page, though, right? But I'm totally green, totally new, don't know nothing about scams. So they post a thing with this Google Doc, like you were saying, okay? And so I click this freaking Google Doc. I start looking at it and I'm reading it and I'm like, okay, I get down to the bottom. And luckily I was smart enough to know, like, you know, don't ever give your seed phrase out. So when you get down to the bottom of it, they're like, we take your security and privacy extremely seriously. It's end-to-end encryption and we use blah, 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 blah. And they're using all these fancy terms and jargons. And they're like, so for us to process this, we just need you to put your seed phrase in.
Yeah. Well, good thing you didn't do that, Joker. I'm glad you did not tell me you did that. But, I mean, you know.
No, but it was, they're really good at it, right? Like, yeah. It really looked official, you know, just at a cursory glance without actually digging into anything. If they wouldn't have put the part about the seed phrase in, I might have actually filled it out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, and I'm glad you brought that back up because I didn't finish my thought on that. Google Docs are arguably becoming the number one attack vector for bad actors out there. It's so easy. You can go right now in 5 seconds and create a Google Doc with a malicious link. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world, right? And it's so easy to spread it out to everybody, right? But yeah, that's why I just wish, like, I don't know. I think too many people and teams and things like that use Google Docs, and I don't personally like that. But yeah, I mean, Google, that's why I get Google Doc links all of the damn time, and they're almost always malicious Google Docs, right? And they can even, I mean, they could get pretty fancy with it too. I mean, you can even set it to where if you open that Google Doc, it automatically runs a script, and it's too late, right? I mean, just opening that Google Doc sometimes is too late, right? But yeah, you're right. I mean, most of
Whoa, wait a minute. You're saying a Google Doc can have a script embedded in it? Like, I thought Google scanned for all that type of stuff.
They do. Now that comes into another conversation that could take me a very long time to go through. But, you know, I'm not sure if this is the right thing to describe, but a layered security approach, right? Sure, they scan for that and they block most of it, right? But I mean, email gateways and web gateways, web proxies and email proxies and things like that have been out there forever that also do that. They're supposed to catch all of that and block it, right? But I wouldn't trust. I mean, Google. I know people that work at Google and I know teams that specifically work on the Google app process and all of that, right? And it's an extremely stringent process. I mean, you would be absolutely mind blown about how stringent they are with it. However, it doesn't mean it's foolproof, right? There's always potential. There's always that potential for something to, make its way through, right? Yeah. I don't know if I had a clear train of thought on that, but I'll stop there. That's just, I guess, a basic thought on it. But yeah, I mean, going back to your point, you know, the most common, yeah, I mean, what happened to you is the most commonly used method for Google Docs, right? Trying to get you to put in your seed phrase or a password or trying to get you to click on a link in that Google Doc or something like that, right? Yeah,
well, I mean, because it says Google, so it's like a name people trust.
Yeah, absolutely. See if I had any other examples that were worthy of showing, or not showing because you can't show Twitter Spaces, unfortunately. Let's see here.
It looks like Nudes posted something from Reddit. Coinbase on Reddit, please avoid using Coinbase Specialist.
Oh, I don't see that. Twitter is not updating for me. Nudes, you posted on your account?
No, he did in a little chat bubble in the bottom right. I posted up to the top.
Yeah,
you can
ahead.
See it there.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Quested.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Should be up there
Oh, I
for you.
gotta approve it. Didn't realize that. That's good. Let me look at that. Scam baiting. Coinbase on Reddit. Please avoid using Coinbase Specialist. Wow. Okay. Another scam. So it's a scam account pretending to be the Coinbase Specialist to help people out. Okay. Yeah, check that out, everybody. That looks pretty. It looks like some pretty good information. Let me talk about that. So completely different subject. Nudes and I were talking about this quite a bit when it first happened. I talked about the Midnight thing earlier with the dust token, right? So everybody, bad actors like to take advantage of news and popular things out there. Well, the moment that Coinbase announced their layer two solution called Base, right? They also noted very clearly that there is no Base token. So two things happened. One, and Nudes, if you want to hop up and correct me on anything, because I think you read more about it than I did, I would appreciate it. But two things happened. One, there was already an already existing Base token out there, completely unrelated to the Coinbase Layer 2 announcement. What happened though is, people were going to take advantage of this news, and new people were going to look at this token and buy into it. So if you look at the chart, that same day, like I don't remember what it did, like 10x or something, and then immediately just. I mean, as soon as it hit the top, it just immediately dropped back down to where it was, right? So people are taking advantage of how people like to FOMO into things and not paying attention. And then the other thing is, I think there were, at the time that Nude shared the tweet, there were four tokens at least, and I'm sure there's a lot more now, where people are creating these tokens and relating it to the base layer two solution from Coinbase, trying to make it look like there's the base token and there's malicious things happening in their token. And I think there were some, I think the person that the tweeted it explained it like honeypots, where if you buy into it, then there's no way for you to get back out, to sell your tokens or move back out of it. So, they're That's a very extremely common thing for a new product in crypto to be announced, whether they have a token or not, for bad actors to create malicious tokens or tokens to take financial advantage of people and things like that, right? What's up, Nudes?
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Happy Sunday. Always good to talk security and stuff.
Thank you,
I just
sir.
shared the I shared that the Reddit post. That was a post I made like 2 years ago. And scam baiting is a tactic where like you play into the scam that you know is going on, and you just like waste their time and just try and fuck with them. So that was like on every platform they have like imposter official accounts, and we've seen that on Twitter with like the Roy support. I think is the most probably notoriously known. Anytime you mention Yoroi or MetaMask is the same way. You'll get like an instant support specialist in the replies, and most of the time it's hidden automatically on Twitter, but those are just people trying to jack your seed phrase. So the same thing happened to me commenting on something about like one of the Coinbase subreddits like 2 years ago. And the guy just messaged me, and I knew it was a scam. So I just like, it was a random night. I think it was like around Easter or something like that. And I just fucking wasted like 4 hours of this dude's time. And apparently, it's a whole thing like in like kind of InfoSec communities that's been going on for a long time on the internet. I pinned up another website if you're interested in this area. It's called 419eater.com. And these are people who waste the time of all the scammers who do the Nigerian prince scam, which is like pretty famous on the internet, that they like inherited a bunch of money and you're in the will. And if you contact me, then you'll receive all this stuff. So there's like a whole thing on the internet for people to waste scammers' time. And the Reddit one is pretty fun and funny. The guy was asking me all of my stuff, and I sent him a wrestling promo. From this guy named Scott Steiner. I was like, yeah, my seed phrase is in here. And he watched the video and he's like, I can't understand it. And I was just wasting this fucking dude's time for like 4 hours. And yeah, pretty interesting experience. But I have like the like chat log, so it's almost like a case study for looking at how some of those scam baiter or some of those people operate, and then different solutions other people use to waste their fucking time, which is always fun.
Yeah, that's awesome you do that, man. Yeah, I love doing it. It's so much fun. But yeah, I mean, to your point, right? That's, I talked about that when it was just Jar Jar in here and nobody joined yet, too. And I'm glad you brought that back up, news, with everybody in here. It's using that thing where someone posts that they had a problem with. The example I gave earlier is like they had a problem with the Eternal. Then the bad actor will tweet, on that tweet, saying, "Oh, I had the same problem with the Uniswap. Click this link for, support. They helped me out." That's always been a thing, and I'm pretty sure will always be a thing that bad actors try, right? So, what I always say, the best way to avoid anything like, and to News's point, right, that most of the time they do hide the tweet, right? So you actually have to hit view to see it. But yeah, the best thing you do is just go to the source, right? If you have a problem, go to the source to resolve your problem. Don't use a link from some random person that's telling you to go here to fix your problem. Just never ever do that, because for one, that's going to never ever be a safe thing to do. Just have that mentality, right? Always go to the source. So if you have a problem with your Coinbase account, or if you have a problem with Eternal, reach out to those folks directly from their main source, right?
Yeah, go to the official channels. It's like you always have to do that in any crypto ecosystem. And like for example, there's been a few times where I was on like a VeChain Twitter space, and they're like, "Oh, I want to send you some cool NFTs or whatever." And I'm like, "All right, cool. Let me download the wallet." And people game the system automatically, like with bots on Twitter, but then also to Google results are often gamed, and they will promote the malicious ones to come up from the top, right? So it's hard to suss through those different search results that you get from any search platform, DuckDuckGo, Google, Bing, whatever you're using, kind of thing. So for me, if I'm like, if I need to get a wallet for an ecosystem that I don't necessarily feel familiar with or anything like that, always try and find the main support account or like the main project account, right? So in their case, it would be like VeChain Thor was their thing. So I had to find the VeChain Thor official Twitter account that has like all the followers. I checked through the Twitter post history to make sure it's legit, see like other major accounts engaging with it or quote tweeting it, any prominent news articles, right? So it's just like a way to vet that is a trusted source. And then once I can do that, then I'll use their Twitter profile as a means to download like the official wallet or whatever. Because even I almost downloaded like a shitty VeChain wallet, and I was just like, I'm pretty diligent about it, but still, it's like it's really comprehensive the things that people do to try and get you to download any malicious shit. So I wouldn't download anything from anyone. Always trust your sources, or don't trust any sources, and look for those reputable ones, by doing some sort of comprehensive assessment of what their platform looks like.
Yeah, man, absolutely, News. I mean, you nailed it on the head, man. That's, yeah, I couldn't have said it better myself. That's exactly what everybody should do, undoubtedly, every time. Yeah, man. Does anybody else that's in the listener space want to hop up and request to speak and share anything? I'm technically over the hour that I dedicated for this, but I am more than willing to stay if anybody wants to hop up and share anything or story or ask or whatever you want to do. I'll hang out for a little bit longer to see if anybody wants to do that. Completely off topic, but I am trying to continuously spread the awareness of my YouTube channel as well. So I'll preface that with, I have my epochsec.io website where I share all of my documentation, Twitter space recordings, YouTube videos, everything to centrally locate it. So it's easy for you to find all of that. You can also go to my contact page on there if you want to set up a individual meeting with me, or if anybody on here is involved with a team, you want to have a team meeting. I do those things. I've talked to dozens of teams and individuals so far like that. I also have all of my documentation on epochsec.gitbook.io. I know a lot of people in the community prefer Gitbook as well. I'm really just trying to give everybody as many possibilities for consuming information and knowledge however they prefer. But I have my YouTube channel I started a few weeks ago because I think that's a great avenue for spreading information, but also spreading the other things I've just mentioned as well. So if I could ask you all to go to that link I just shared up top, subscribe to me or check out my videos, or if you see something you liked, reshare it out, whatever. That would be greatly, greatly appreciated. Yeah, that was my EpochSec marketing moment. Yeah. Okay. Nobody else has asked to hop up. I think y'all are okay listening. Nudes, Joker, Jar Jar, do you guys have anything else? Because if not, I'm willing to say, but if not, I'll probably close it up here soon.
I feel like just outside of Cardano's pretty secure. Like, you don't have to worry about people sending you, like, random shit too much, you know, depending on what it is. But if you mess around with MetaMask and, like, other Ethereum wallets, you can get dust attacked on there, which happens often. And that's when people send you, like, a random shitcoin or whatever it is. And it might look like you have, like, a bunch of money or something like that. And then people try and move it. And as soon as you, like, approve the movement of whatever asset someone sent to you, you're allowing access to the entirety of the wallet. And that's another pretty popular scam that happens mostly in Ethereum. It's kind of like part of their system. But I think it's a good general thing that if people decide to explore cross-chain stuff, like knowledge about that, you know, Cardano is like, whatever lands in your wallet, you can just let it sit there. It doesn't matter. You could send it off to somewhere else. It's not going to enact any approvals or anything like that. But Ethereum as a system is very different. And I think that's an important one to always know.
I thank you for sharing that, Nudes. Actually, go ahead, Jar Jar, because I know you asked about that earlier on.
Pretty much your advice just to not interact with those NFTs, just leave them alone.
Go, Nudes, I'll let you answer that since you brought it up if you want to.
I couldn't hear anything. Could you relay the question?
Yeah, Jar Jar was asking, because he actually asked in the beginning about that same exact topic, and I shared a couple of things, but I didn't share what you shared around the dust attack. His question for you is, what should he do with those tokens? Should he just leave them alone, or what would you normally do from the Ethereum perspective?
Yeah, on Ethereum, you don't want to touch them kind of thing. Like, and it happens often, too, if you have an Ethereum wallet that's like hooked up to OpenSea and you're like actively trading on there, because people will look at like whatever popular drops and they'll just go through like the trading history, pick out a few wallets and send some bullshit NFTs to them, and they by default go to your hidden folder kind of thing, so they don't show up, you can't even see them like on your account. But there's like a lot of malicious things that people will send to wallets in the forms of NFTs or shit tokens kind of things. And If you approve the movement of those things, that could lead to a wallet drain because of however the smart contract is written in a way that grants an approval for the removal of all assets. It's like kind of like green lighting a send all feature, and it will automatically just take it out of your account. So I think best practices usually is just to leave that shit alone, never touch it. Doesn't matter. It's not going to change your wallet or anything. Just as long as you don't interact with it is the best way to go.
Oh, yeah, awesome. Jar Jar, was that helpful? I saw the heart thing. Sounds good. Cool, man. Thank you, Nudes. Nudes, one other question for you, actually, around that same topic that I kind of shared earlier before anybody joined. And I'm not as involved with the NFT community over the last year as you are, mainly because I just so many other things I'm involved with. But which is now on Cardano, it's obviously a lot different, right? Because they're native assets, they're not smart contract based, and there's a lot of things we could talk about around the differences between Cardano and Ethereum. But however, one thing on Cardano, right, is not it's not a problem of Cardano or Cardano NFTs, but you know, within the metadata, and Nudes, I'm guessing I'm asking you because you're more familiar with the NFT community than I am, but is this even a thing right now, or do you think it could become a thing to where in the meta, I create an NFT project, and in the metadata, I put a URL, and then I put a malicious URL link, right? Where the NFT itself isn't malicious, but I could maybe potentially put a link in there that somebody might unknowingly go to that link, right? And I could be a prominent project, or I could be, you know, a scam project or whatever. But I mean, have you seen anybody doing that? I personally have not, but
yeah, totally. I mean, it's like you could put any URL inside of an NFT. So there's a lot of various things that like just clicking on them can be really bad for your computer or whatever kind of malware infection that they give you. And it's not only just links themselves, but just the different kinds of files for what you can put in. And like NFTs on Cardano are it's almost like an email attachment. You can put any file inside of an NFT and might be hosted on IPFS or somewhere like that, you know. And there's some NFTs where like there's the feature to download stuff from it, right? So depending on what kind of thing a creator or something like that puts in there, you have to be really diligent in terms of the ways that you're interacting with it. So if it's not a reputable source or a trusted project or something like that, or, you know, sometimes you can just hover over a link and you can see the URL for where it's going to bring you, kind of thing, you know. And some people use link shorteners inside of like NFTs and stuff like that is I wouldn't trust at all, for sure. You know, and with that in mind, like kind of vetting and looking through those different URLs, there's a lot of websites that are like website clones where the URL looks very, very similar the way that it's written, but maybe one or two characters is different, just to deceive people into going in and trying to interact with some different platform, kind of thing. So it's another area to be really diligent about, for sure, in terms of looking inside your wallet, clicking on, around any links or downloading any kind of thing. You know, I would always err on the side of caution and try and do your due diligence from there, for sure.
Absolutely. Very much appreciated. Yeah, thanks for that, Nudes. Yeah, yeah, because I mean, I could just see things like that being a thing as Cardano grows and we have millions of people, right? Why wouldn't a bad actor want to try that, right? I mean, if I was a bad actor, that'd probably be the first damn thing I would try, to be honest, you know. But yeah, that's great, Nudes. Appreciate it, man. Okay, so next week, next Sunday, just to give everybody an idea, if you don't mind sharing this out or joining or whatever, next week I'm going to be talking in depth about multi-factor authentication and the software and physical options out there and the benefits and how to do it and that kind of thing. So I'll be talking about two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication next week. The week after, March 19th, that Sunday, I'll be talking about the kind of going around this conversation we're having today, but different security tools that you can use in your quest to being more safe and secure and avoiding scams and things like that. The following week, which I don't have the space scheduled yet, so the week of, I think the March, it would be March 26th, I'm probably going to do a space for anybody interested in getting into an entry-level area of cybersecurity and kind of the things to know and do and learn and the process and a lot of stuff around that. So yeah, I appreciate every one of you for being here. I appreciate the questions and I appreciate the extra information that you all shared, and I hope everybody has a beautiful and wonderful Sunday.
Yeah, man, take it easy. Send me an invite when you do these things. I always like learning about these tips and stuff. You always have good info.
Yeah, thank you, Joker. I will definitely make it a point to do that. Absolutely. Okay, and well, take care, everybody. Go ahead.
Quick question before we dip out. Do you think when this EVM sidechain business starts up, these are things we're going to have to worry about on Cardano?
Yeah, man, maybe we should just have a completely dedicated space to talking about that, because that, you know, there's a lot of things to be aware of when it comes to sidechains. And then I know some people were recently having conversations between sidechains and layer two, how layer two takes advantage of the security mechanisms stuff of the primary blockchain, and sidechains do not, right? So there are, I mean, sidechains have wonderful use cases, right? But there are absolutely risks and concerns to go along with that. I can't think, Newser or even Joker or anybody, can you think of what are, I know in the last year or so there were definitely popular news things out there where there were issues or things that happened related to sidechains. And I'll be damned if I can't think of any of them right now. I don't know if any of you can think of any of them.
There's a lot of like bridge hacks, and that has to do with sidechains and L2s kind of thing. And I think the most famous one was the Ronin bridge attack from
Ronin. Infinity.
Yeah, that was like a really famous one. So yeah, definitely worthy of a Twitter Space topic for sure to explore it as that element of Cardano, you know, grows over the coming months and years.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that was a great question, Joker. And yeah, we'll definitely have that conversation in due time. I do think, I don't know if they're going to do it or not, but I think Rick and Dumpling and maybe somebody else might have a conversation around that. And that might be, if they do that, that might be a good space to bring these topics up. If not, like I said, in due time, I'm happy to have that as well. But yeah, yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, have a good Sunday. I'm glad you held the space, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. And again, definitely much appreciate everybody joining here. And thank you for your time. And again, have a lovely Sunday. See y'all next time.